Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 324, top of the day to you, Steph.
Yes, it is episode 24.
I thought it was 324 last week, so I was about to write 325 and went, oh, I better just double check.
But did you double check?
Yeah, and it said it was that last week was 323, so who
four
am I to?
Commonly comes after three.
That's right.
So welcome to 323. Four.
Oh, that was
sorry. I'm sorry.
No cups of tea today.
No.
So we got corn chowder. So it's corn with potatoes. There's like herbs and stuff in there. And the recipe said to put sun-dried tomatoes in there. What do you reckon?
Delicious.
Mm.
Still a bit hot, as in temperature hot. Mm-hmm. But I love a soup with corn. Mm. And I also love a soup with potato.
Yeah. Oh, that. Oh.
What makes it a chowder?
I don't know. I think you got to put milk or cream in it.
Okay.
I put milk in because that's
chowder up.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm going to keep eating. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. That's no problem at all.
So if you hear a little ding ding and you can enjoy.
Oh, no, now I'm choking on my chowder.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
I've got a quiz for you that's about age.
Oh.
It's not a new one, but I think I may have put new people in. I don't know. I feel like it's been
age
a long time.
Age of people.
Yeah.
Or the age
like
of
which
shows.
One, no, it's like which one's older.
Oh, I like it.
Mm. Mm.
I'll
so
still
you get
stress,
one or the other.
I've got like it.
Obviously. like the one last week where you stressed before we even asked you the question. That's just one person, it's me.
Yeah, but that's often.
True. But it was really funny. A couple of things I didn't get around to talking about last week that I watched, so I'll be talking about those this week. And
me too.
Oh, cool.
Actually, no, I lie. I've got one and one.
Okay.
One from last week,
yep.
One from this week.
Perfect. That's all you need. Just need. I feel that if we give too many watching suggestions, then it ends up being like overwhelming.
Mm.
Like it's just too much.
Yeah.
Can't remember. Fair bit of news, so why don't we get into it?
Do it.
Everybody seems to be a fan of Taylor Swift at the moment. That seems to be exactly what's going on.
I think everyone has Swiftie now on their license.
Yeah,
it's part of our ID.
Like even famous people are now admitting to the fact that they're big fans.
Mm.
Sometimes get a little bit
starstruck.
Starstruck, yeah, when they meet her. And the latest one is Adam Sandler.
Really?
He admits that he gets a bit nervous when he's around Taylor Swift.
How often is he around Taylor?
I'll explain to you. So he was having a chat with Conan O'Brien and he said, what I found is that people can be absolute icons, make the biggest stars in the world, but if they came along maybe 5 years ago, I'm really happy to meet them, but they don't really have that effect on me. He went on to say, I'm not like, oh, my God, you know, the way that you would if it was someone that you grew up knowing.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Like she's the icon.
Oh, absolutely. And he went on to say, you know what, Taylor Swift, because of what she means to my girls, his daughters, I get a little jumpy just because I don't want to blow it for the kids.
Aww.
He said, so I'm like, Taylor, and I talk too loudly or too softly, and he's like, I can't stay.
Meanwhile, she's probably
cool.
Like, oh, my God, it's Adam Sandler
exactly.
Is talking to me.
He went on to say, you know, that back in the day there was the, you know, the big Beatlemania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would just be absolutely hysterical over just going to their concert. And he said that he's obviously been to Taylor concerts with his daughters, and he said that that's what it's like there and that that kind of, it's still a thing.
I saw a video of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively in the audience of Taylor Swift concert. And she's friend, or they're friends with Taylor Swift. So they've obviously been to a concert a number of times. Anyway, I don't know the intricacies of the story, but one of their daughter's vocals was in a Taylor song and it all was showing on that particular concert. And they're there with their phone filming a Taylor Swift concert, which they've probably been to so many times before. They speak to her all the time, probably have barbecues and things like that. The reactions that they had when their kids were involved with Taylor Swift.
That's cool.
Was like, Blake Lively was beside herself.
That's really cool.
And I thought, oh, it's like a whole nother step
up. It's another level.
It's not just you're my friend or I'm a Swiftie. It's my kids are with the Swifties.
It's funny because when I think about Taylor Swift, I think, you know, those first few songs and then the 1989 album. And then I kind of just, it's not that I ignored her. It's just that I don't know, I wasn't paying attention. And then suddenly she's the biggest thing ever. She's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa, okay, that
I
had my back turned.
I feel like there were a lot of closet Swifties.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of people who really enjoyed her but didn't say anything. And then somewhere, where did it happen that everybody was out and about dressed in sequins?
Yeah, I wonder that because I remember when the tickets for the concerts in Australia were on sale for 3 seconds or whatever. And suddenly there was like this frenzy on social media, you know, even people you know, I tried to buy them or I've got them. And I was like, oh, I spent
8 hours trying to buy a ticket.
And here I was, didn't even realize that she was
coming out.
Yeah. So I think her music is, I was going to say something, but I feel like it would probably not belittle, but lessen the impact that she has on people. I was going to say it's pop and it's nice enough, catchy enough, relatable enough music that the masses like it. But I don't think that that's exactly what it is because I know that I know a lot of her fans really connect to particular songs and lyrics and the meaning behind it is everything to them. And when I think back to, you know, Jagged Little Pill and Alanis Morissette and every song you're just like, this is, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, I think I was like 17, 18. I was like, this is just the pinnacle of expressing a very particular moment or a feeling or something in a song. And I think that's exactly what's happening with people and Taylor Swift, and I think that's awesome.
I think there was also a moment in time that she quite openly writes about past relationships, and a lot of them are famous people that we know of.
Yeah.
So we're getting a glimpse into the heartbreak and the anger that comes along with a breakup, with that actor, you know?
Yeah, you try and figure out which one the song's about. These chunks of potato are good. Like, they're not too big. I wasn't sure how big I would cut them. But this is good.
I bet Taylor would like this.
I'm sure she would.
She really likes cats. Do you know that?
I know.
See, there's just lots of little things about her that make you go, oh, okay, she's really.
She makes sense. She just makes sense.
She is the universe. She is the ruler of the world. Like, is she not?
She probably is.
She actually is the ruler of the world. There is this Taylor Swift effect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously we've noticed it the past few weeks, haven't we? Joshua Jackson was never that famous, but he was very famous when he was in Dawson's Creek. Of course, before that he was in Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
And he's gone on to do a whole heap of stuff.
Dr. Death? Like,
as an adult actor, he's really been so solid and had an amazing career.
It shows you what an incredible actor he was.
But you could see it in Dawson's Creek. Compared to the others, he and Michelle were the best.
Yes.
Thespianly speaking. he was also in that one with Reese Witherspoon. It was a series and the house burnt down.
Big Little Fires?
Yeah, he was the husband.
I forgot about that.
I think that's the last thing I saw him in.
The last thing I saw him in was Dr. Death.
Okay.
He was phenomenal. So good.
Well, sit down, get ready, get excited, because he has joined the cast of the latest installment of Karate Kid.
Oh, I was going to say Mario Brothers.
No, no. Ben Wang is an actor, and he was in the last was in the Disney Plus series American Born Chinese, and he's starring. Like, he's the star of it. Jackie Chan is in it. Ralph Macchio is coming back, of course. Huge. You have to. I don't know anything about Joshua Jackson's character, but they say that he is one of the main characters in the movie.
Is he dad?
Well, I don't know. I was kind of also leaning towards maybe he's like the coach of the baddies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always bad guys, and he might be the coach of them.
This would be a dream come true for him. I could imagine that he would have loved
Mighty Ducks to Karate Kids. Big franchises. Good on him.
Mighty Ducks was massive.
It was big. Everybody loved Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
I watched some of the – I think I watched the first season of when the Mighty Ducks came back as the
series. Was he in that? Did he make a cameo?
I actually have no recollection. I know that Emilio Estevez was in it, and he probably was, right? He had to be. And from Gilmore Girls.
Lauren Graham.
Yeah, she was in it.
She was the reason.
Isn't that funny? I don't remember. Those sort of shows – that's the problem with – I'm going to call it the Netflix effect. And I know Mighty Ducks was not on Netflix, but the Netflix effect, where they have these shows that they only give one or two seasons to, or they're limited season series. And you really enjoy it at the time, and then you completely forget about
them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is why the Little House on the Fire was you'd completely forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But you remember that you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's so weird.
I think I could rewatch things a lot.
Do you mean those limited series or the ones that only got a couple of seasons?
Probably both. Yeah. And it would be a few episodes in that I go,
I've seen this. I did. And then you think, but maybe I didn't finish it. Mm. Maybe I'll watch it to the end.
I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Coleman Domenico has been in – I first saw him in – well, I know him from Fear the Walking Dead, but he's also in Euphoria. Anyway, he said the reason why Euphoria Season 3 has been delayed is because the creator, Sam Levinson, is adjusting the story to reflect the real world. Now, the last time – I think the last show came out, the last season – was it last year? Maybe – it was like maybe early last year.
I don't know.
It's not even finished. It's like hasn't been finished.
Oh, golly.
It's not because of Zendaya being very famous and being in Dune 2. It's because of Sam. He said, Sam is a person who writes and rewrites and writes and rewrites again because I think he's wrestling with what's important. He's responding immediately to what the ills of the world are.
So he drives everybody who's the purse strings crazy.
Just – let's also back up. I just need to explain to you that Coleman Domenico is a thespian. So that's okay. I know this is him again.
Do it. Do the voice. Go on.
I know that the one thing I can tell you is that he's very much interested in the existential question of who we are right now, our souls. And what he wants to figure out. It's going to be in season 3. So,
Sam,
AKA,
your show will be really good, but most of us will forget.
He's just
forgotten if we've watched it in 2 years' time.
He's either got writer's block or he's faffing around.
He's a procrastinator.
It'll get done.
He's a creative.
Don't worry.
And he won't stop until he's happy with the final outcome.
Rewatch The House That Never Fires with Joshua Jackson
and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Valve is behind Steam, which is the marketplace that you would buy video games on if you had a PC. Well, the main one. Anyway, it's had to remove a handful of fake Steam listings for the very popular game at the moment called Helldivers 2.
Ouch.
And the reason is that they were actually different games disguised as this massively popular co-op shooter at the moment. So basically people, game developers who made crappy cheap games, easy games, were trying to fool people into spending money on theirs, pretending it was Helldivers. And the makers of Helldivers had to jump out, you know, onto social media and say, there's unfortunately two, maybe three now fake games, and these are being marketed as Helldivers on Steam at the moment. He said, these are fake. They're not made by Arrowhead, that's the developers, but they claim to be. We do not know what they contain, but they are not affiliated with us in any way, and our legal department is on it, and we hope that Valve will remove the products as soon as possible. Now, if you're a little bit worried about that, it's also on PlayStation as well, PlayStation 5, so, I mean, that is the actual Helldivers game. So, I don't know. I guess it depends on... If you want it enough, I don't know how to look carefully into it. Maybe they're sort of charging a little bit less than what the proper Helldivers is. I would go on to Arrowhead's website or maybe their social media and just have a look at what the actual names are.
Gosh, if only scammers would actually put their abilities to good use.
The thing is, right, if you've made a few crappy games, you still made them.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
And now you're not going to probably have an account on Steam anymore.
They'll just make a new.
Yeah, you're right. They're just going to make another one. Yeah.
But imagine if they put their talents towards creating a new game that people might enjoy. Or
called Helldivers 3.
Yeah. Or go in and clear everybody's mortgage. Would that not be? They'd be the champions.
Do that.
They would tip Taylor Swift off winner of the world.
Yep. You'd be the Robin Hood instead of the Takey Hood.
Scammers would not be a bad word.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I got scammed today. You did?
Congratulations.
You're so lucky. Do you want to give them my email address and tell them they can scam me?
I can do it. Do you want to get into some watching suggestions?
Yes, I would.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So we've got some held over from last week, and you said you've also got a new one. So what do you want to start with?
New.
Okay.
Let's do new.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
You go first. Go on.
Oh, I don't have any new ones. Mine are held over.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go there.
Yeah, do it, do it, do it.
I just gave myself the green light and didn't realize. So I have been watching Stan, and pretty much Stan only. So my new and my last week are both Stan productions. My new one is an Aussie-made production, and it's called Prosper. And it has Richard Roxburgh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Rebecca Gibney. Just lots and lots of faces.
Is it a series?
It is a series, limited series. I think there's 8 episodes.
Got Reese Witherspoon and Joshua Jackson. And it's about a house.
And it's on fire. Close, but no. It's an interesting, it was a little bit of a slow burn for me, but I feel like that's a negative connotation. Slow burn.
Classic. So, we can't stop
the puns.
Out of control.
I don't mean it a slow burn in a bad way. I meant that I just kept me interested enough to really enjoy the final climax of the story. So it's set in the inner sanctum of an evangelical church that's run by this incredibly wealthy family.
Is this
Rebecca and Richard Roxburgh?
Yep.
He's the head pastor.
Sorry, Beck and Rich.
Beck and Rich.
Beck and Rich.
I love that. Beck and Rich.
It's like a town out in the west.
Yeah.
Have you been to Beck and Rich recently?
Yeah, I prayed a lot.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Anyway, Beck and Rich created their own church, and it's very, very successful. Think Hillsong.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
You know, the songs they sing, the family are involved in every domain of the church. You know, the family is the band, the main singer, all the sons, children are pastors of different, you know, levels. There's a prodigal son who's left the church and they're trying to get him back in. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to crack the US market. And so they're expanding their church into the City of Angels. And they keep calling it, instead of LA, they keep saying the City of Angels. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's the language that you use, isn't it? Anyway, in this expansion, all of the secrets and the politics and the fights and lies to continually evolve this church, but to one up each other and try and be the most important, comes to light throughout the series. It's a very interesting series. It's the acting is exceptional from the entire cast. There are little bits in there that you can see you're making the dots before it's connected within the show.
But is that fun, though? That sounds fun.
It was fun because they left you enough breadcrumbs to make you want to keep watching because you were like, I think I've got this. I think I know what's happening.
I've cracked the code.
I'm being really vague because I don't want to give anything away. I want people to go and watch this and enjoy it without being like, oh, Steph sort of gave away what happened in episode 3.
It's in the trending, what do you call it, section, category on Stan. So yeah, it's easy to find.
Really easy to find. It is a Stan original and it's called Prosper. Really worth a look.
Well, it's funnily enough, mine is also on Stan. It's The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. This is the...
Oh, yeah, I saw that advertised.
Yeah, one about Michonne and Rick. And I've only watched the first episode so far. And I have to say, it's filmed and edited very differently to the old Walking Dead. Ooh. It feels more
in
like...
In a catchy way or a disturbing?
No, I say refreshing way.
Okay.
You know, it feels like they're telling the story a little bit differently. It almost looks like it's a film, even though it's not, it's a series. But it just has, I don't know, they've thrown a bit more behind it maybe in terms of budget, I'm thinking. We start off with Rick and we find out, you know, why he's been missing for five or however many years. I think that's how long it was. It's because he can't get out. He's pretty much a prisoner of a massive community. It's not even a community, it's a city. And the way you get into it is by, it's almost like being on probation and you got to do all the crappy jobs, you know, and you don't even get into the city first.
Yeah.
You're basically out in the outer sticks of the city killing walkers and stuff so they don't get anywhere near the city so that the people in the city never have to deal with the zombies at all.
Nice.
They don't see them or anything. But
that feels like what life would really, like how it would progress.
But it's got a real feeling, and obviously this is the point, of there are citizens and then there are immigrants and the immigrants have to, you know, bend over and just work as hard as possible for as long as possible doing the crappiest jobs to finally become a citizen of the city. And that's where Rick is. But Rick doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
He wants to go back and find his family and find Michonne. And he's tried to escape doing very drastic things.
So they won't let you escape.
So that's where he is at the moment. The only Michonne that we saw in that was the Michonne in his dreams where he pretend that he doesn't pretend. He dreams that he... He's trying to find somewhere, like trying to find an address. He's got a job interview or something. Yeah. And he was walking through a park and there's a lady having her lunch out there and that's her.
Yeah,
and they keep talking to each other, that kind of thing. I really like it. I mean, these two actors are exceptional, of course. And at the moment the zombies are not really the main thing. They're more sort of showing you that people who deal with zombies are kind of the lowest of the classes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have a feeling I've got an idea of what might happen at the end because I did say it was, if it feels like an end.
Yeah.
So I think maybe one of them may not make it and I think it might be Rick, but let's see. Not sure. I'm just having a guess. So that's on Stan. What else have you been watching?
Also on Stan. And probably is in the trending section as well, but I delved into the series called Three Women. And the reason why I delved into it was because Shailene Woodley is well depicted as being the main character.
It does look like it.
And it's very interesting because she's not one of the three women. And it's, you get a real early glimpse into her world. And then the episodes focus on one of the women each time.
Oh, okay.
She's woven in. But by the time it gets to about episode 3 or 4, you're kind of thinking, like, I want to know about her. And there are little snippets because there's obviously a different timeline happening of when she's come into the three women's lives. But what it's about, it's actually based on a book. And this writer who's Shailene, she has basically told, you know, the book that you have presented to us by her publishers, nah, we don't like it. It's crap. Not going to, like, you've got this amount of time to try and fix it, essentially.
We want better.
Her father was, I think, an award-winning author, so she's got big shoes to fill.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of, that Ruby, the one.
Ruby Sparks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got that kind of feel to it.
Yeah. So she's told by, a mentor who knew her father, you've just got to travel across America and sleep with married men and write a book about it. And she's like, I'm not doing that. Not happening.
Like something, yeah.
So what she does is she goes through and she's like, I want to find what women's view, American women's view is of sex and of their relationships, but I don't want the Californian and I don't want the New Yorkers because, as the mentor said, they're not real Americans. So you have to go right in the middle. And that's what she did, and found these three women who are incredibly different. And so what it is seeing three stories in the one, and the other three women, they never connect. So you're really so just she's learning the only it. She's the only connection. Mm. And it's very explicit, so I wouldn't have any little eyes around. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't have any teenage eyes around. Right. Like, they're a full frontal of men everywhere. But what is really interesting is the journey that the three women go on, and their journeys are so different to each other that it creates a really rich, quite powerful. It's one of those stories that you really want to get to the end of it because you want to know what is the overarching theme, like where are those three stories going to end up, but they don't necessarily end up with a lovely bow at the end, and it makes you think. I don't know that it would be for everybody. I think particularly the explicit nature, I don't know that would be for everybody, but maybe it's a really good book.
What if you were a fan of Sex and the City because it told interesting stories like that, or no? Is it very different?
I guess if you're putting it in that sentence, yeah, they seem the same, but there's not really any comical moments in there.
Yeah.
They're raw stories. Okay. They're a really behind closed door story that you kind of go, they've left nothing that would be a bit icky out. They've put everything, every truth out there. And maybe that's why it's hard to sort of digest a little bit. But strong acting.
Yeah, okay.
Cast, incredible.
I saw that it has, what's her name? Betty from Glow.
Betty Gilpin?
Yeah, that's right, Betty Gilpin.
In my opinion, she's the best.
Yeah, cool.
She is phenomenal.
That's like, cool. I like her.
She can act with just her eyelashes, you know? Okay. Like
one of those. And gives, one of those actors.
She leaves, I'll be so corny, leaves nothing on the table.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Nothing on the field.
That's sick, bro. Okay. I was interested in watching that. So is it only three episodes?
No, it's not three episodes. There's a few more. I think 10 episodes.
Okay.
I do think it's a bit long.
Okay.
A bit labored in parts, but we are telling four women's stories, really. So
they get, what's 4 10 divided by 4? Sounds like they're not getting many, 2 and a bit, right?
They're not getting many.
Okay.
And I mean, it's not purely that story in every single episode, but one more so than the others.
Oh, okay. Betty's?
Yeah, Betty's one of the first ones that we.
Oh, is that the one that like hooks you in?
The first episode is about Cheyenne Woodley's character, Gia.
Oh, okay, yep.
And so there's enough sort of questions from that one to make you, watch the second one. And then the second episode is Betty's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Betty. I watched Maggie Moore. The S at the end is in
brackets, parentheses.
It's in brackets. Maggie Moore, brackets. It was from last year, and it stars John Hamm and Tina Fey.
Enough said.
She's being Tina Fey, but not Tina Fey, not your Liz Lemon Tina Fey. She's very different in this, but not different at the same time, but not as funny. She's not as funny, but it is quirky.
It's date night funny?
No. It's a murder mystery. Oh, okay. It's got touches of Fargo about it, right? So John Hamm is a police chief and he's trying to investigate.
Who's in Fargo.
Yeah, exactly. But he was a weird sheriff in Fargo. Yeah. But he's trying to figure out these two murders of two women with the same name in the same small town.
What?
But the thing is, the audience sees everything that happens. So we already know. Yeah. There are a couple surprises. I watched it on the plane and the person in front of me had put their seat back. So it was like 3 centimeters away from my face, but I kept watching it. You know, sometimes you're like, I'm not watching it now. I can't.
Yeah.
It's like, it's uncomfortable watching it this close. But I watched the whole thing because John Hamm and Tina Fey, but also the story was fun.
Yeah.
And it was enjoyable going through the roller coaster of what happens. Like there are Fargo bits where you're like, oh my God. Man. The bit at the end made me just go, oh yes, of course. That's so cool. Oh, I love that I paid attention.
Oh, my God, I really want to know.
But you don't even know that it's a thing until the
especially
end.
Especially considering you know what happened.
Yeah.
To have that reaction.
No. It's really fun. And I would say watch it definitely. But the only problem is you would have to probably find a British Airways flight to watch it, or you can get it off Apple TV, so you would have to rent it. Well,
I'm
going to
wait
till
we're off air and I'm just going to ask you to tell me.
Yeah, I'll tell you. No, it's kind of a long story. It's good if you just watch it. No, I'm not even going to tell you. Let's wait for it to appear on somewhere so that you can watch it because I think.
And then I'll recommend it in a couple of months' time.
But then you'll also, I reckon, go, I know which bit you're talking about. Yeah, it was really, really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The whole cast was really good, but, you know, John Hamm, Tina Fey, so. Reunion of sorts.
Pilot. Wasn't he?
Wasn't he a doctor?
Oh, yeah. It was Matt Damon who was the pilot. Yeah. He was the gorgeous doctor who was really dumb.
always having accidents. Remember he burnt his hands or something? Yes. So funny.
Liz Lemon.
I was watching that today whilst I was making the soup, actually.
Fun.
I don't know what season I'm up to. I think maybe it might be 2. And it's the bit where I was watching the episode where Don Geist dies.
Oh, yeah.
Just before he makes it formal that
Jack
Donaghy's going to be the CEO. So he isn't. And then he gets put down into the 12th floor and he keeps pretending he doesn't work there. He'll spend his whole episode in like the elevator pretending, oh, I accidentally hit 12. Whoopsie. Are you ready for a quiz?
I'm always ready for a quiz.
You already know what this
one's
about.
I'm always ready to panic over a quiz.
Who's older?
You.
Oh, you got it. Well done. So I will give you two names and you have to tell me which one's older.
Okay.
You don't have to say by how much. It's
okay,
just
good.
A guess. Oof. Margot Robbie or Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling.
He's 43. Do you want to guess how old she is?
38.
33.
Oh.
Yeah. Oof. She's been busy.
She's been really
busy in Hollywood doing stuff because she's only 33 and she's already. Yeah. Megan Fox or Kate Beckinsale?
Kate Beckinsale.
50. Megan is 37. I thought she'd be older.
She's lying. That's a lie.
That makes
Don't
sense.
Don't believe that.
Okay, that makes more sense. What about Nicole Kidman and Cameron Diaz? Because it's hard, right? Because you're like, but Nicole's been around for ages. But then you think, yeah, but she was a teenager in BMX Bandits.
I keep coming back to Cameron being older. Mm-mm. It's Nicole.
It's Nicole. Not by much, though.
That Nicole. Was my original thought was Nicole, and then I kept changing.
She's 56. Cameron is 51.
Okay.
So pretty close. That. Very close. What about Usher?
Yeah.
And Jennifer Lopez?
Usher. That's not my answer. I'm just thinking.
Okay.
You should have said, yeah.
That's a thinking noise.
You should have, Usher. You should have said, yeah.
Oh, I ruined it.
I've forgotten who the other person is.
J-Lo.
Oh, this is hard. J-Lo, it's Usher, isn't it? J-Lo, yes. Yes.
J-Lo's 54. Usher is 45. So you flip them. Flip them.
Like, no, surely he's going a little bit older than that.
Do you think he's lying like Megan Fox?
Potentially.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you're a young person bringing out new music, he's my new young person. He's youthful looking anyway, so just chop 5 years off.
But when you think about when you first saw him on Channel V, it was probably the late 90s. Hey, Eddie.
Hello, you.
Chester's here as well. He's just going to wake him up. That'll be nice. Oh, no, he's sitting next to him.
Oh, you suck.
That was very cute. They're now sitting together. Courtney Cox or Jennifer Aniston? Eddie has now put his paw on Chester's back.
He's literally was tapping Chester, like, wake up, wake up. Yeah, he just didn't pay any attention, did he?
He did, though. His eyes are open. Yeah. Okay, see you later, Ed. Wow, that was...
Wake up. Wake up. Oh, not waking up. Okay.
I reckon I know what he's done. You know how he's a spokesperson for dinner time? So he's come to tell us it's dinner time and he's also telling Chester, get up. I've organised it. Come on. We're going to have dinner.
You come too.
so I can eat your food.
Yeah.
He's sitting behind you.
Courtney Cox.
Yeah, she's 59. Jennifer's 55.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, the final one and quite a good one, I think. Nope. Elizabeth Moss from Handmaid's Tale or Elijah Wood?
Elijah.
Only by a couple of years. He's 43, she's 41. They should get married.
What if they're married to other people already?
That's a good point. Maybe they shouldn't then. Maybe they shouldn't. But
then... We'll leave it up to them. They can decide.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably for the best. I've had so much fun watching stuff. Apparently Stan has not sponsored us but should have, at least this episode. And next week, I don't know. Maybe it won't be Stan. Maybe we'll have moved on to something else.
Or it could be Stan. Stan Australia.
Wink, wink.
We
wink.
Love wink. Watching Stan.
Stan, wink. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Gosh, we love Stan Australia.